Now to US politics, where the Defence Secretary, Pete Hegseth, has again defended the US military strikes on alleged drug cartel boats in the Caribbean Sea and Eastern Pacific Ocean, saying President Donald Trump has the power to take military action, quote, as he sees fit. The US has been under increased scrutiny over the legality of the strikes in recent months, including an allegation that Mr. Hegseth ordered the killing of survivors in one attack. It comes amid a massive US military build-up in the Caribbean and ongoing tensions between the US and Venezuela. Alana Shaw is Semaphore's senior Washington editor. Alana, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Thanks for having me.
Now, the US Defence Secretary or War Secretary, Pete Hegseth, he's come under a lot of scrutiny since November 28 over these reports that he allegedly ordered that there be no survivors being left after this US military strike. What are the latest developments?
Well, there was a major briefing on Capitol Hill just a couple of days ago where lawmakers shared with the press some never-before-heard-of details regarding these strikes. Number one, they said that Secretary Hegseth did not deliver what's been colloquially known in the U.S. as the, quote, kill them all order, which was detailed in the original report, alleged to have been given, although perhaps not in those words, by Hegseth. Lawmakers said, no, that was not happening. What was happening at the time was Hegseth said, I want a complete effort, and alluded to no survivors without saying it in those direct terms. So in other words, what's now being alleged is the initial report was wrong. However, Hegseth did give orders that led subordinate Admiral Frank Bradley to essentially do what we call a double tap strike and come back at the survivors. But this isn't over, and that's for another reason that was revealed during the briefing, which is that the survivors who were killed clearly were trying to radio for help and were not trying to make any sort of efforts to continue their delivery of alleged drugs and cargo. We don't know. Not only that, the lawmakers learned during the briefing they were not headed for America. They were headed for Suriname.
There's certainly a lot of confusion around all of the details here, and we're getting different versions of exactly how this played out. But ultimately, when it comes down to it, most of the international legal community says these boat attacks are breaching international law. So how is the administration justifying it?
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head. The administration is actually politically benefiting from this debate over what Hegseth did and didn't say, because it's obscuring the point that you just raised, which is that regardless of the nature of the follow-on strikes, there's serious questions about violations of international law. And my note about these alleged drug traffickers going to Suriname is particularly relevant because the administration has claimed the U.S. is at war with foreign drug smugglers. Okay, well, in this case, the foreign drug smugglers were not targeting the U.S. at all. You know, and it's not our intention to be defending the integrity of Suriname, no offense to Suriname. So I think from an American perspective, right, there's real questions about their explanation and whether it's frankly a rationalization at this point.
Look, we've also seen Pete Hegseth come under a lot of pressure over his use of a signal, that encrypted messaging app, discussing the US airstrikes in Yemen earlier this year. We've had a government report released last week that found it could have endangered US troops. If we take that incident, now what we're seeing over these airstrikes in the oceans, do you think that Peter Hegseth's position could be at risk?
Probably not. And here's the reason. Donald Trump, as I'm sure you folks are aware in Australia, loves TV and loves image. Pete Hegseth is all about creating this image of a Fox News friendly, you know, very hawkish conservative. So the details of his behavior and misbehavior don't really matter to this president. What matters is the image and Hegseth's unwillingness to back down from this conflict, which he certainly is leaning into. I do think, though, what could be at risk here is the actual potential march to war in Venezuela, right? Because Hegseth hanging on is one thing, but there are other advisors involved in what they were hoping to be a smoother campaign to, frankly, possible future military action, and that has now been derailed.
Mm. You're listening to Radio National Breakfast, where Alana Shaw, Semaphore's senior Washington editor, is our guest as we talk about the rising tensions between the US and Venezuela. So, Alana, take me through the approach that the Trump administration has here to putting pressure on Venezuela's leader, Nicolas Maduro. What is the end game here for Donald Trump in taking this approach?
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, Donald Trump is making good on promises that were never directly stated in front of a TV camera, but were kind of understood to a lot of Florida Republicans. There are a lot of Cuban expats, you know, Marco Rubio among them, who have long wanted to take out Nicolas Maduro, seeing him as a dangerous socialist threat involved in drug trafficking, which, of course, Maduro denies. The end game here, getting Maduro out. But what Trump knows also is that a lot of his base believes that he's isolationist and doesn't want to get entangled in foreign wars, even though, to be honest, he has not really governed that way. So he's got to strike this delicate balance here. In addition, forget about his base. The American public is majority against more direct military involvement in Venezuela. So as a result, you have this tricky dance, right, where you see administration officials walk right up to the edge of saying we're going to strike inside the country, but remaining offshore.
It's certainly a lot for the US that's been balanced between domestic politics and international politics there. Alana Shaw, I really appreciate you taking us through it. Thanks very much for joining us.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Alana Shaw is the senior Washington editor at Semaphore.